Well, it's not going to be my last time, then. Guess that means no banana pudding. Sorry, Brother Larry. It's good to see everybody again tonight. We are thankful for your presence here to join us at the Oceanside Church of Christ as we continue to worship our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. Have you ever come across an individual who seemed to be so negative at heart? Have you ever come across an individual who has always been pessimistic, negative in mind? Unfortunately, we don't like to be around certain individuals who are like that, do we? No. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1, Solomon writes saying that a good name is sweeter than precious stones and oil. Folks, when we, the attitudes that we have in our mind and our heart affect the way that we live, does it not? A good example that we see in a very interesting parable that I may add is found in Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 through 45. It is a very short parable. As the saying goes, good things and big things come in small packages. It is a short parable that Christ tells his followers concerning about an empty house that is like an empty heart. And with an empty heart, that's like an empty house. If you're opening your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12, we will turn our attention over to this very short parable that Christ teaches his followers then and his followers now. Matthew 12, verses 43, he says, "But the unclean spirit, when he is gone out of the man, passeth through waterless places, seeking rest, and findeth it not. Then he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh with himself seven other spirits more evil than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man becometh worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this evil generation." We're very familiar with the phrase, where the home, or where the home is, the heart is there. Wherever the heart is, the home is there. We've heard that phrase numerous times. Wherever the home is at the heart. The heart is at the home. It all begins with the heart, does it not? When we share the gospel, when we spread the gospel to others, what are we trying to do? We are trying to convict them of their sins and of their ungodly actions. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. "For the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, quickly able to pierce the joints, the marrows, and intents, and thoughts of the heart." Brethren, when we go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are trying to convict people of their sins. For godly sorrow produces repentance. Does it not? 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 12. Leading one to salvation. Brethren, if conviction is not there, then the individual will not come into terms of obeying the gospel. This is why that we need to stand fast in the truth, as we talked about this morning. That the stones that Joshua provided for the people of Israel, the stones meant that conviction surpasses convenience. Folks, we need conviction. We need to strike conviction in the hearts and souls of those who we are sharing the gospel with. So, brothers and sisters, tonight I'd like for us to focus on this example that Christ provides here. What Christ uses is an example of demon possession. That's why I find it very interesting. It's how he seems to compare an empty house as an empty heart while using the experience of demon possession. Because at that time, people were very well aware of demon possession and exorcism, were they not? Absolutely. So Christ uses this as an example and as an illustration, as a parable, in order for us to understand that an empty heart can bring about a lot of danger. He's saying that it's much more than just having your sins forgiven, but it's also applying the word to your life, applying the conviction, applying the word, applying the message to our hearts. No wonder why James says in James chapter 1, verse 22, "Do not be hearers only, but doers of the word, quickly deceiving yourselves." Folks, application is the key to spiritual growth. And if we don't apply the things that we learn, especially in the heart, there's not going to be much growth. That's one trouble that the Pharisees had. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, Christ says that outwardly you are clean, but inwardly you are just dirty and filthy. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, Christ says that, "For it is out of the heart come forth evil thoughts." So brethren, our hearts can be filled with evil. Not only that, it can also be filled with good. So what does this message have for us today? I've titled this lesson, "The Empty Home," in parentheses, heart. This is where the home is. It's the heart. It is an important lesson to be gleaned and applies to us today as well. It is a lesson on the evils of neutrality, in other words, or disinterest. We must replace evil with good. So brethren, let us focus on our first point for tonight. First, let us understand about the dangers of an empty home or an empty heart. Our heart is like a home, as we just mentioned earlier. And we just also briefly stated that it can either be filled with evil or it can either be filled with good. For the one who fills it with evil, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 8, a man who has a perverse heart is despised by all. So that we see that if our heart is filled with ungodly and immoral actions, if our mind and our heart is filled with ungodly thoughts, if our hearts are very perverse, then we're despised. But however, the heart can be filled with much, much good as well, can it not? Matthew chapter 12, verse 35, Christ says that a good man out of his good treasure brings forth good things, and an evil man out of his evil treasures brings forth evil things. Matthew 12, 35. So our house can be cleansed, as we need to understand. Just like a regular home, usually the wives would always love to do the decorating. The guys, you just say, just whatever, pick whatever, just go ahead and do it. But however, it's just as a simple home. Inside the home, we like to decorate it with all sorts of designs and decorations. The same is said of our heart as well. Our heart can be decorated. It can also be remodeled. It can also be switched around. I know the women also like to move around the furniture as well to something a little bit just different. They don't like having the old thing, you know, the same thing for like the past several years, so they like to change it around. There's nothing wrong with that. But however, our heart can be cleansed. Just as we can cleanse a house, we can cleanse our heart as well. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, the Hebrew writer goes on to say that, "For we come forth with a true heart and fullness of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with water." How about that? Having our hearts sprinkled with water. Having our evil conscience cleansed, washed away. And brethren, in order for us to begin, if you are not a child of God, it all begins by when, but where? By obeying the gospel. It starts by obeying the gospel. Our conscience is purged from dead works In order for us to serve a living God, the Hebrew writer also says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. So as we as Christians, when we focus and evaluate ourselves, we are expected to fill our home. We are expected to fill our hearts. Well, how? Through faith in Christ Jesus himself to dwell in our hearts. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. God's peace and grace are to fill our hearts. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Even God's law is to be written on our hearts. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. That was God's plan to begin with. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. He says, a new covenant I will make with both the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenants that I made with their forefathers. And he goes on to say that, for they will be written on their hearts. A new covenant that will be written on their hearts. Question is, has God's word been written on our hearts? Have we been applying the things to our day-to-day lives to help us grow as better Christians? Because there's not going to be any change unless application and practice is brought forth and shown forth, I should say. People don't like to practice. They don't. They like to sit here and maybe just take some notes, but yet those notes will either end up just laying on a desk, end up crumbling up in the trash can. Not everyone. Some strive to be able to apply the things in their day-to-day life. That's good. Well, keep on keeping on. But brethren, no application, no spiritual growth. Because it is the key to spiritual growth. What happens when we do not fill our heart? Well, you've heard the saying that nature abhors a vacuum. And what this saying means is that it is an idiom that's used to express the idea that empty or unfilled spaces are unnatural as they go against the law of nature. If we do not make the effort to fill our home with good things, then evil things are likely to barge in and make it their residential home. But the hard thing is for us Christians is the influence that we see around the world. The television, the magazines, the internet. However, those things can be good, can be used for good. And we talked about that briefly this morning, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. So the question is that how are we going to use them? Are we going to make the decision to allow these things to bring forth good in our hearts? Or are we going to allow it to fill evil things? And again, it's tough for the Christian. Why? Because of all the influence that's all around the world. It's hard. But brethren, as we stand fast and as we hold fast and trust in the faithful, living, almighty God, all things are possible. We will make it through. And when we think about it, as we go through our day-to-day struggles and trials and temptations, if it wasn't for them, then we would have no desire for heaven. If this was going to be a perfect world, if we would want things to go exactly the way that we want it to go, then mankind would have no desire for heaven. There's a good thing about trials and temptations for us to learn about. It's that we resist them, and we also understand that, boy, I just can't wait till I get to heaven. Because I'm just fed up with it all. Folks, that's a good attitude to have. Because you are maintaining that strong desire for heaven. It's in the home. It's in the hearts. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 2. Consider the example of the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, Paul provides a list of certain ungodly acts and ungodly individuals who will not enter the kingdom of God. He says, neither fornicators, adulterers, idolaters, homosexuals, murderers, thieves, and the such like, and they that practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But look at verse 11. He says, such
were some of you, but you have been washed. You have been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Can that still happen today? Absolutely. We've seen example after example of individuals who are murderers, homosexuals, and yet they have obeyed the gospel. They have been washed and they have been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about that word, sanctify, here in just a few moments. Yet later they were engaged in sinful conduct once again, as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20 and 21. And why was that? Well, if you go back to his first letter in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, Paul tells them, have no companionship with those who practice evil. Why? Because they corrupt good morals. Evil companionship corrupts good morals. And it corrupts the Christian morals as well, and the Christian principles in our lives. Consider the example as well from the false teachers mentioned by Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2. Beginning at verse 1, these were individuals that had been bought by the Lord. In other words, that they had obeyed the gospel. They were in His grace. But Peter goes on to say in verse 20 that they had become lost once again. They have estranged themselves from Christ. They have separated themselves from the grace of God. And yes, that can happen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 3. You have separated yourselves from Christ. You have fallen from grace. So we see that it can still happen to the child of God. These men in 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter acknowledges that they were once bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. But what happened? The evil influence surrounded their lives and paraded deep in their hearts. He says their eyes were full of adultery and their hearts trained in covetousness, verse 14 of chapter 2. In the case of false teachers, they had forsaken the right way, verse 15. They even denied the Lord who once bought them out of this world. Why? Hearts filled with covetousness, they said. They began to want to do the things that they want to do. So they decided to separate themselves by forsaking the assembly, forsaking themselves from their brothers and sisters in Christ, forsaking themselves from Jesus Christ, from His Word, from time of prayer. They just neglected it all. And they went and they surrounded themselves with worldly influence. And brethren, as we say that if we do not protect our hearts from the influences of evil, they will easily barge in with vengeance and taking your heart as their residential home. Christ says, Matthew 12, 43 through 45, an empty house is an empty heart. An empty heart is an empty house. So, brethren, again, ask ourselves the question, how is my heart? Is my heart filled right now? Is my heart filled with the good, with the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ? Have I been applying the things of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to my life, to my heart? Again, from the heart, it comes out the mouth. Matthew chapter 15, it all talks about the heart. I mean, if you go through chapter 15 in the book of Matthew, you will see that constantly the word heart is used repetitively. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Absolutely, we can be able to approach the throne of God and worship, but however, our hearts are not in the right place. Why? Because we have our hearts more concerned on things that are outside in the world. Now, I wonder who's going to win the soccer game, even though it's been going on for 2 months right now. Stuff like that. Oh, man, I hope that girl will say yes to me when I ask her out. Any example you can use. Sometimes the influence of the world surrounds us so deeply that we often even deceive ourselves at times, do we not? Deception is, in fact, one of the most powerful tools of Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Paul says to the Corinthians, I fear that just as the serpent has deceived Eve, you have been deceived and have fallen away from the simplicity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, the gospel is simple, is it not? Keep it simplistic. He's not the author of confusion. But brethren, we can so easily deceive ourselves to the point where we don't even know that there's evil taking home in our hearts. How is it that we can cleanse it? Again, as we mentioned earlier, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, in order for us to cleanse it, we must be constantly in the Word of God, building our faith, building our relationship, keeping in touch with Him through prayer. Christ says that I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. Let not your hearts be troubled. John chapter 14. In order for our hearts not to be troubled, we must be in a right relationship with our Lord God Almighty. Amen? That's right. Christ goes on to say that even when he taketh himself seven other spirits more evil than himself, they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man becomes worse. Notice that. He's now worse than he was before. Why? Because more evil has gone into his heart. Our hearts can become so hardened, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and 13, that we could actually separate ourselves so far away from the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the point that where it's almost impossible for us to come back to repentance. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. The longer you are in the darkness, the harder it is to get out. And the more you're in there, the more you want to continue in there. And the Hebrew writer says that if you are constantly in the darkness, it's almost going to be impossible for you to come to repentance. That is why the darkness hates the light. John chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, that we are called to expose the darkness. Have no fellowship with those who practice works of darkness, but rather reprove them or expose them. And brethren, we're going to get a lot of persecution when we do that. Will we? Oh, we will. Absolutely. Why? Because the darkness hates the light. And so it saddens our hearts when we see that precious souls that are spending their entire life, almost their entire being, in the love and in the ways of the world, that there's almost no point for them to be able to come to repentance. We can become so hardened through willful sin that we trample the Son of God underfoot and count the blood of the covenant a common thing and insult the Spirit. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 through 29. We become so willfully in sin that we trample under. Just imagine that. Is that when we sin, when we are constantly living our lives in sin, we are trampling under the foot of Jesus Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that the rock that brought forth water for the people of Israel was Jesus Christ. He says Christ was that rock. And guess what Moses did when he disobeyed God the second time? He struck the rock when he was asked to what? Speak to the rock. But yet he struck it. And yet the rock still brought forth water. So what's the point? The point is this, is that when we sin and disobey God, it is almost like we are striking Jesus Christ, just as Moses struck the rock. In such a case, how true the statement, The last state of the man is worse than the first. Can we put ourselves, when we make poor decisions about certain things in life, whether if it's our job, our financial struggles, or either our home life, our family life, can we make such poor choices and poor decisions to the point that we have made ourselves even worse than what we were at to begin with? As they say, you're just only digging the hole deeper. Yes, that can be the same way for us spiritually speaking as well. When we constantly are not in the Word of God, when we neglect, this is why it is important for us to maintain the diligent studying of the Word of God. Why? Because it fully equips the servant of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Brethren, why oftentimes does it become so hard for us to be able to just take a little time into God's Word, and for us to grow, not only in the knowledge intellectually, but also right here? As I say, I mean, I'm one of those straightforward and blunt kind of guys. I like to say it how it is and rip it off like a Band-Aid. So the question is there one here tonight who has not been spending their time in the Word like they ought to? Not spending their lives in the grace, not living their lives in the grace. Again, there are some here who are very faithful, maybe even more or strongly faithful than some others here. Again, you just keep on keeping on. But brethren, we have got to do our part as Christians, especially if we are wanting to fill our homes, which is the heart.